before and this morning, and I just trust that that you're ready to receive the word, because if you're a believer this morning, you know that this is everything for us, and this is how God speaks to us, and this is where God convicts us, is through the preaching, the hearing of the word of God. Truth is what we have. So we just want to reaffirm that this is true, that we believe it, and that out of it comes forth life, springing forth to new life. That's what we have. And so this is a very serious sort of 40-minute time. And indeed, so as to set the bar here, this is the most important hour of your day. And it's the most important hour of your week. This is when we get to hear, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's a privilege to be in God's house. So let's just begin. So again, last week we have the story that Moses runs into this bush, and so we'll just turn there. Exodus chapter 3. Moses runs into the bush, and of course the bush starts talking, and Moses is a little concerned how this is possible, and he says, and God introduces himself, and so Moses, God has put on Moses a tremendous task, and Moses is struggling with how it is that he could perform this task. And first of all, the most important thing is, who am I to do this? And then God just says, it's really not about you, it's about who I am. And who is God? And so last week we talked about this God that even in difficult circumstances, even if it appears that God has not been paying attention to your circumstances, we know indeed that He is. He is. So we've had 400 years where the children of Israel had not heard from God. They don't know who God is. They've been in Egyptian captivity. That's a long time for God to be silent. And God reminds the children of Israel, verse 7, chapter 3, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heeded to their cry because of their taskmasters. I'm aware of their suffering." So this is a God who, though it doesn't seem like he may be involved in your life, rest assured that God knows what's going on and he's been watching. And even if it's been difficult, even if it doesn't seem like God cares, even if it's been just tough times, God's aware. God's aware. God knows. God knows. And God, by the way, is ready to come to the rescue and to accomplish something great on your behalf. So I believe that. I believe God is a good God. He loves you, and he wants good things for you. And consequently, I think it is important that we follow up on a note that we made last week, that God, while he loves you and wants to accomplish great things for you, it certainly is in his way. So God is holy. Remove your shoes. This is holy ground. So, and he's also a God who is, "I am who I am." This verb-centric name, "I am," this is a God who is accomplishing, not just knows, but is accomplishing things. "I am." He is, right? This is the God that we serve. So I think, hopefully, Moses at this point has some good idea of, all right, God's got my back. God's got the children of Israel's back. And good things are coming. All right, and so now we're jumping to chapter 4. This conversation is continuing now. Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" And so there's certainly, I just want to talk this morning about several little arguments that we make sometimes. God's got a big task for you to accomplish. He's got something that he wants you to do. And we're all yielding, right? We all want to yield. Hopefully everybody in this room wants to yield to a God and basically accomplish his will, right? I mean, I think that's most of us. Most of us here want to come. But there are things that that sort of come up sometimes. It's like, this is just kind of a thought that I have, God, about this, and we throw these little things up. And let's make some assumptions before we continue. Let us assume that God wants to use you today. Everybody in this room, if you're a believer, even if you're not, God still wants to use you, okay? So everybody in this room, God wants to use in some manner, shape, form. And everybody wants good things from God. You know, there's certainly a lot of pastors out there that preach that kind of a gospel, and I believe to some extent it's true. God loves you, and he wants good things for you. And people want to sign up to that reality and sign up to that God. But then when God starts requiring stuff of us to change us, to mold us, to accomplish big things in us, all of a sudden we don't want a part of that God. We want the God who's pretty benevolent and wants to do great things for us, but we don't want so much the God that is requiring things of us. And sometimes sometimes those requirements put us in difficult positions. So God wants to use us, and so in that context, God wants to use me, but this is going to be hard. And so we start coming up with reasons why, well, maybe this is not going to work out after all, God. Have you thought about? And so the first thing is, Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? It is the problem of what if. It is the problem of what if. God has something to accomplish, and all of a sudden, we start living in the hypothetical. Well, what if it doesn't work out that way? In Moses' case, what if they don't believe me, right? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? What if they say the Lord has not appeared to you? Now, is there any indication whatsoever that this has happened or would happen? No indication whatsoever. God said, go to the children of Israel, go to Pharaoh, and pronounce A, B, C, D, and E, right? And Moses all of a sudden, he says, well, what if they don't listen? What if they say this? And all of a sudden, Moses steps out of faith into a hypothetical situation. So God's given a promise, and Moses is not living in that promise. Moses begins to live outside of that promise and moves himself into a hypothetical. And God maybe is asking you to accomplish something, and you're talking yourself out of it because what if this, what if that, what if this happens? God's asking you to do something, and we should stand on the authority of the promises of God. But we start to figure out reasons and hypothetical reasons. And when we start living that way, mind you, so this is the important thing. When we start living in the hypothetical and not in the promise of God, then we're living outside of faith. We're living outside of a realm where we just trust God to accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish. So, well, what if this happens? You know, there are some guys, right now, so we want to do this ministry going to Costa Rica, and I'll never forget, we did a trip similar to that when I was in our previous ministry, and there were parents that, with college students, mind you, parents that said, I'm still a little uncomfortable with my child going to Costa Rica or Dominican Republic to accomplish anything. What happens if there's a plane wreck? What happens if they get Montezuma's revenge? When that's a stomach sickness. When you get sick, you eat something you shouldn't eat, Tom, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, that's called Montezuma's revenge. All right, and what happens if, what if, what if, what happens if this, what happens if that, right? And I'm like, hold on for a second. Has God not made some promises about, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, right? I'm going to take care of you. And I'm kind of like, so we make all our decisions based on these what-if situations, these hypotheticals, and don't move in faith to what God wants to accomplish in our life, you're going to be stopped at every turn, because the thing about hypotheticals is there's always more hypotheticals. But what if this happens? What if that happens? We've got to get out of the hypothetical and into faith and into the promises of God. And if we'd get out of trying to talk ourselves out of doing what God's calling us to do, and so what if, and we're getting ourselves out of walking in line with what God's calling us to do. And that's walking in faith. God's going to accomplish this. God's going to use me. God's going to do it. Again, it's part of having our identity caught up in a God who's bigger than my circumstances. It's being caught up in a God and our identity caught up in a God who's bigger than what I think he is. He can take care of it. These what ifs aren't real problems. They're problems of the mind. And they're not even, you know, I think to some extent, God's word says, doesn't Paul say, whatever things are good, whatever things are true, whatever things are good report, think on these things. Is there anything true about Moses didn't know if any of these things were going to be true. And Moses' responsibility was just to think on what is true. God is big. God has promised me something. God wants to accomplish something. I know that that's true. I know that that's good. And I'm going to hone in on that and forget about all the hypotheticals. And so everybody got that? Does that make sense? So as we yield to the power of God in our life, we have to yield in faith to what God wants to accomplish and forget about all the what if questions. What if this happens? I'm telling you, we've moved so many times in ministry, and I mean, I have to tell you, we had people speaking into our life. Kelly will know this when we wanted to move to Ohio. There are plenty of people, John, who said, I don't think you're going to enjoy Ohio. You don't like the cold. That's true. Price of living. I heard that one. Price of living. It's all older houses. If you buy a house there, you're going to be able to get your money back. I heard it all. We heard a lot of sort of, so hold on. Because at some point, we just have to do what God's calling us to do and forget about all the hypotheticals. What if the house doesn't sell? What if it's just cold and you don't like it? What if this? What if that? I don't know, God's calling me to do something, and I'm going to move in faith that God is going to accomplish all those little things in my life, and I don't have to worry about it. And God's going to do that if he calls me to Ohio, to Africa, to Alabama, to Texas, to California. God's going to take care of me regardless of where I am. That's just location. God transcends all that. No problem for God. He's a big God. So eyes off of your circumstances and all the hypotheticals that you want to come up with for why you can't serve God. Eyes back on God, the promises that he's given us, and do what God's asking you to accomplish. It's just pretty simple. No hypotheticals. Eyes on the promises. The promises. Living in faith. The Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, I love this. When we start to yield to God and forget about the hypotheticals, God begins to use things inherent in us. So he says, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, it's a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. No blaming him there. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. How many would do that? Not me. I'll guarantee you, not me. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. And the Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. So he put his hand into his bosom. So when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Then he said, put your hand to your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom. And behold, when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness, God says, of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. I believe that these two signs or heed what you say, and you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So what's happening here? Moses has an initial concern. He's got kind of developing an identity for himself that's caught up in who God is, right? He's reimagining his own identity and getting into a position where he has his identity in God. All right, so then he has a hypothetical, that all these hypotheticals start to coming up, and the devil's good at, and the enemy wants to keep you from all that God has for you, and so all these little question marks start to happen, pulling us away from the promise and pulling us away from faith, right? So then God says, okay, listen, throw that staff on the ground, and God does it. So even in the middle of your hypotheticals and your doubt, move towards what God's calling you to do. Move towards what God's calling you to do. And so he does it. He throws the staff on the ground, becomes a snake, picks it up, back into a rod, the staff again. And so God wants to, I just see that kind of in my own life. I have my doubts, I have my concerns, I have my hypotheticals. I start to do what God wants me to do, and all of a sudden God starts to miraculously reveal himself in awesome ways in my life, and I start to see God's hand at work just because I took movement forward to believe God. Now, this doesn't happen if Moses shuts the door and says, nope, too many questions, too many what ifs, too many possibilities for this to go wrong. I'm out. Moses does that, and staff doesn't go on the ground, leprosy, he doesn't lead the children of Israel out of slavery, of 400 years worth of slavery. Right here is the point at which, in the middle of your doubts, you're either going to move forward into the destiny and the accomplishments that God wants you to do, or you're going to stop dead in your tracks and you're never going to be used of God. Not to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And so all of a sudden he throws the stick down and God starts to show him things. Now I got a story to share. Look at what God's done in my life. I had my doubts, but moving forward in faith, I believe that God's going to accomplish something. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do, and God accomplished something miraculous. And then he puts his hand in his shirt, right? Leprous, then not leprous, okay? God's doing amazing things, and this is just the beginning. We haven't even started yet. God's just kind of just starting to tighten the screws on what he wants to do with Moses. It's just the beginning. This is just kind of still, they're still at the house. They haven't even left. They're still just playing around. What God really wants to accomplish is huge. Okay, parting of the Red Sea. Okay, right. Ten Commandments. Okay, he makes the top 10 list. Right. This is what God wants to accomplish in this guy is unbelievable. Staff turning to a snake is nothing. That's just the precursor for what God wants to accomplish in Moses, but it doesn't happen if Moses is caught up in the hypotheticals, the lack of faith, the lack of, there's too many question marks for me. I don't want to step out in faith to accomplish something for God. I'm scared. What if they don't like me? What if they don't believe me? I've made mistakes. I'm a murderer. What happens if they shut me out? All that's not important. And so God starts to do stuff with just stuff that, just his stuff, just a staff, right? God starts to accomplish great things, just a staff. And God wants to accomplish great things in your life. I'm convinced, it's like, well, I don't see a lot of really vibrant, really awesome Christians accomplishing a lot of great stuff. A lot of Christians are stuck in fear of what the hypotheticals are, and they've never moved out on faith to accomplish anything for God because they feel they're not good enough. They feel that they don't have gifts. And God wants to use exactly what you have to accomplish great things. But if we're stuck in the moment of fear, and I don't think God can use me. God won't use you. God won't use you. Why? Listen, so is it okay if I just talk to sort of unscripted? Gary, is that fine? You give me permission? All right. So why does, I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about any church. What happens when churches don't have people moving out in faith, accomplishing great things? You know what happens? Church stagnates. It doesn't grow. God doesn't accomplish anything really miraculous. Nobody's talking about what God's doing in those kinds of churches. And churches necessarily, if God's not accomplishing things miraculous in and through that body of believers, then there's nothing to be excited about. And eventually we can only drum up excitement just for so long. It just doesn't happen. And then kids come and they're like, well, everybody says this is really important. Everybody says this is exciting, but I'm not seeing it. But I'll play around. I'll play the game. And then when they turn 18, they're out. Yeah, I didn't see anything really exciting. I saw a lot of people talking about a miraculous God. I saw a lot of people talking about how good God is. I saw a lot of people talking about all these stories, but I've never seen anything like that. I think it's a farce. Well, what happens, the reason why that happens is because there are churches full of people who never step out into all that God wants, into the miraculous promises of God. Churches full of people that never take that initial step. And so when that happens, nothing happens. And when nothing happens, church-wide, nothing happens. It's just that simple. This is not really rocket science. This is just common sense. If we want a church that honors God, that's moving in the power of God forward, then it's going to require people that say, I don't care about my hypothetical reasons why I don't want to serve God. I'm not listening to that. I know what the promises of God are. I'm stepping out in faith. I don't care what the naysayers say. I don't care if it looks like God can't use me because of this, that, and the other thing. I'm going to do something for God, and I'm going to allow God in that initial moment of obedience that God's going to do something. I'm going to see God work miraculously on my behalf, and I'm going to start seeing God work, and I'm going to have stories, and God's going to start to do something on my behalf. And then that gets contagious. So then you come to church and you say, you know what God did for me? I stepped out. I did something for him. I didn't think I could, but God working through me accomplished something despite my biggest fears and my biggest doubts. I stepped out trying to accomplish something for God, and God did this. And then this person, well, man, I can't believe that. Really? Yeah, that's what happened when I actually stepped out and tried to accomplish something for God. God did something for me, and it was miraculous and really big. And then your neighbor's like, man, that's really awesome. Maybe I'll try that. But what happens is we get so complacent. We get so complacent, like, this is just church. Listen to that. I mean, I told you when I came here, it's almost been a year ago, I don't want to come to a church where nothing's happening. We need a church where God is doing something. He just is not going to come down and do something just because, right? Okay, God's not going to come through the, just come and say, hey, I really like this group of people. They look really nice. They came. That's faithfulness. Great. Love it. God come down, start doing, accomplish the great things. God doesn't work like that, okay? God works because individuals yield despite their fears and their trepidations, despite the thing that's holding them back. They say, no, I'm going to step out. God wants to use me. God wants to accomplish something big in me. They step out, and then God does something big on their behalf. And then that catches fire. This is the moment at which you say, God, I know that I've got my baggage, I've got my problems, but no more allowing the enemy to speak into me doubts. God's called me to do something great, and I'm going to do something for God. And if I fail, I fail. It's like when the very first time I rode bike, you know what happened? I went, rode bike, and I fell, right? And I got back on the bike. And I started riding, I fell. I got back on the bike, and I fell. And I fell, 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 and then I learned how to ride a bike. Okay, we don't walk with God in the miraculous power of all that he has by not trying it and doing it and stepping out and maybe sometimes failing, but watching God accomplish something. And finally, so man, God is alive because he just accomplished something miraculous on my behalf. And that did not happen because of anything I did. That happened because God was involved. And all of a sudden, I have a little bit of faith to back up behind my doubts and my fears. And the next time I come around, a little bit easier to say, okay, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to keep moving forward. God has something for me. God wants to use me. God has got my back. I'm going to continue to honor God with my life. And then new fears come up. I'm not letting those fears get in my way. I'm not letting those fears speak doubt. I'm not letting that person, that neighbor, speak doubt into me why God can't use me. I'm not going to allow that. I got the promises of God, and I'm moving forward. This side's really quiet. I don't know why. I mean, this side, I'm hearing a little bit of praise and stuff, but not so much on this side. What's wrong? What's wrong with you guys? Man, this is ridiculous. Last week, I was struggling, man. I was preaching it, and you guys were, man, weren't giving me much. Maybe it was just me. I was bad. It was bad. I came home. Gary, I came home, and I was depressed. What in the world? That's a great message. What's wrong with my church? All right, so everybody on that page, we're not allowing our doubts, our fears, the people around us to speak doubt into me. I'm going to allow God to speak the promises in. I receive them, and I'm moving forward, going to accomplish something big for God. I'm going to just yield and see what God does, and I'm going to throw my little stick on the ground. It ain't much. It's just a little bit that I got, and God's going to use it, and God's going to use it big, miraculously, and then I get empowered for God to use me in bigger and better ways. Thank you. That was better. Amen. That was good. Much better. All right, so everybody on that page then, let's look at the next one. Then Moses, verse 10, said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past, nor since have you spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and I am slow of tongue." All right, this one now gets even now, so more doubts, more concerns. Well, hold on, God. You're asking me to do something that is precisely in the area that I feel the weakest. I mean, I get it. I'm willing to serve you, but you're asking me to do something in the area of my life that I'm the least talented. I can't talk in front of people, and yet your big plan is for me to get up in front of Pharaoh and tell him, "Let my people go." Now, this is just not my gift. Get somebody that's eloquent that could maybe try to talk some sense into Pharaoh. Get somebody that's got just smooth and can just smooth talk his way out of this thing. But that's not me. That's not me. Don't use my weaknesses. Don't use my weaknesses. Well, see, the thing is that God wants precisely to use your weaknesses. The things that you're not comfortable with. Because what happens is, if Moses, and we all know this, but if Moses is a great, eloquent speaker, then and he goes to Pharaoh and the people get let go, all of a sudden, Moses thinks he's the big stuff. Look at what I did. And then God gets no glory for that. And then God doesn't want any part of it. See, if God's not going to get glory for it, God's out. Because God exists. God's whole purpose of existing is to get glory. That's the reason why we live, is to give God glory. And if God can't get glory, He's cashing in his chips. He's out. He'll try somebody else. And so the reality is that you may be being called to do something for God, and it may be uncomfortable because it's outside of your comfort zone. That's when God is going to use you the most, is when you're outside of your comfort zone, when God is using things that you don't feel very comfortable with, parts of your life, to minister to people or whatever, and God begins to use that part that's the weakest, and then it's like, if it ain't God, then this thing ain't gonna work. And that's the point, because in your weakness God becomes strong and God glorifies himself despite you, because the story is not about you. The story is about God's glory, and if God's not gonna get the glory, then he's out. So occasionally God will use your weakness to be used for his glory. It is now. I'm glad that God gifts people. God gives us gifts and abilities, and you know what I'm saying? And I mean, we should use them, because those are going to be natural abilities, natural things that God said, hey, I'm giving you the gift of A, B, C, D, and I'm giving this person the gift of this and that. That's what the body of Christ is, a whole bunch of people with a whole bunch of different gifts, a whole bunch of different abilities, and we all work together for God's glory. But now, this is not what I'm talking about. Now, this is not gifts and abilities. This is natural impediments, maybe, that you have. And you're like, man, I just don't feel. Maybe God's calling you because God's calling you to do something in your life, but something in your childhood makes you very uncomfortable with this part of your life. So this is too close to home. I'm not going to open myself up for God to use me in this, because it just opens me up to too much emotional turmoil, right? I can imagine a world in which Moses, being slow of speech in class, in his Egyptian little class there, was being made fun of because he couldn't give the speech in oratory class, okay? In 12, 13, 14 years old, and all of a sudden he's like, I'm never speaking out in public again. I'm never doing that again. I'm out. Kids making fun of, you know, like you did when you were a kid, you made fun of other people, hopefully you didn't, and you start making fun of them. I can just imagine a world in which this is not just an area where Moses is like, I don't speak very well. No, there's some emotional attachment here. God, I am so uncomfortable. People have made fun of me about this. I'm pulling out. Not going to open myself up to that. I don't speak well. I'm uncomfortable speaking in front of people. It's not about you. Allow God to work. And if you're going to do it in your own strength, that's one thing. But if you would just yield to God and say, God, use me like a vessel. Fill me up. I want to be used of you. Whatever you want me to say, I want to say it. And I might not say it perfectly, but God, give me a passion to say what I'm going to say with passion, with authority, with love. So Moses had, I think, sort of an emotional thing, and the reality is that God's not going to use you if you withhold all the hurtful parts of your life that fester and are wounds, and you want to hold those back and protect those. And I don't want to expose this, so I'm going to hold that back and not allow God to use this part of my. I'll be used of God. I'll step out in faith, but don't touch this. Don't touch this insecurity. I can't deal with that, God. Don't touch this pain. I can't deal with that. Don't touch this issue. I can't deal with that. And you reserve all the parts that you're the most insecure about, and then you're missing the greatest potential of all, because it's in that moment when you give God the thing that you feel least secure about that God really comes up and becomes your defender. That's when God really comes up and buffers and comes underneath you and supports you in the area where you couldn't support yourself. But if you don't yield the parts that are hard, God will never do that. You have to yield the hard parts. your weaknesses to God. I'm uncomfortable about this. I'm uncomfortable about that. Yield that. Allow God to work through that. And then when you turn around, you can say, okay, God, I saw how that worked. You did unbelievably on my behalf. You supported me in my weakest area. And I see that you love me. I see that you'll support me. If you'll support me in that, you'll support me in anything. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? Anybody in this room receiving God's word? Don't be slowed down by the hypotheticals, and don't be slowed down by the fear of all the things that you find are the things that you want to support. Don't let those things slow you down. God wants to accomplish something in you. Yield to him the thing that you want to protect the most. Let him have that. You're not doing a good job at protecting it anyway. Let God heal you of that. You let God make you eloquent in that area. So the Lord said to him, what's my confidence that I could allow God to take that pain and use me? The Lord, verse 11, said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Who made that area in your life that you're struggling with? Who gave you the emotional capacity to feel pain in that area? Who gave you that? God did. God did. And God can heal you of it. I've seen so many people, God help us, especially as we get older, there's so many pains and baggages that we have to carry because of all this loss or this thing or that thing, and so many people in life that shut down because of this pain that they are now trying to protect and get past, and God is calling you this morning to get past that and to allow God to use you despite your pain, to release that pain to him, and God will accomplish great things in your life. But the more you protect that pain and shut down and no, I've dealt with too much, I can't be used of God anymore. Listen, God wants to use you despite that and through that weakness. What is it that's really troubling you? Maybe that's exactly where God wants you to minister out of that. We're sitting to try to protect it. No, God's got that weakness there, and it may be that God's calling you to use that for his glory. I'm going a little bit long, so I'm going to hurry up. Now then, go. I will be with your mouth. I'll be with your pain. I'll be with your emotions. I will handle it. And I'll teach you what you are to say. Verse 13. This is the last point, verse 13. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Finally, Moses is like, hold on. Look, there seems like there's just too much going on. Send someone else. Now, this is the time in which God gets angry. God's calling you to do something, and we're sending up roadblocks every which way. And finally, we say, you know what? We throw up our hands and say, God, I just don't want a part of it. Send somebody else. I don't want a part of this. What are you doing? And so eventually, God gets sort of like, okay, I've had enough of this silliness. Sir, obedience, right? Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Remember that? Do we need to sing that next week? Obedience is, come on. Obedience. God's calling you to do something. And so here's what we have, and here's the reality. Moses says, well, send somebody else. Here's the thing. There is nobody else. There is nobody else. What God has for you to accomplish, God has for you to accomplish. And nobody else will accomplish it like you will. There may be some an errand come up and help you out a little bit, but the job is not Aaron's. It's yours. God, there are things that God's calling you to do, and we're throwing in the chips and saying, I'm not going to do it. Let somebody else do it. Listen, there's nobody else. God has this task for you. God's put things on your lap for you to accomplish. There's nobody else going to do it. You have to do it. God's equipped you. God's made promises to you. God's made you able. And yet I don't want it. I don't want a part. Listen, God's not calling such and such to do it. God's calling them to do something else. God's calling you to do this. Get on board and do it, because nobody else will accomplish it except for you. And we've got so many people that just don't want to play a game, don't want to play the game. They say, no, I'm not going to serve. I've done my part. We said that last week. Done my part. I don't want to serve. I've done this. You know, there's other people that can do it. They're high school students. They're high school students that, well, I'm just a high school student. Let somebody else serve. God's got you something to do. Don't let an adult do it. Don't let somebody speak down on you because of your youth. God wants you to accomplish something. And it's not going to work if an adult does it. It's only going to work if a teenager does it. God's got you accomplishing something. Amen. Well, I'm a widow, or I can't do anything. I'm a widow. I can't do anything. God's got you to do it. That is not a disability. That is a blessing, because God's got certain things that only you can accomplish through God's power because of your individual circumstances. You have to do the job. And that's why the world is not being reached, because we've got circles of influence all the way around us. God's put your neighbor beside you, and the person that's supposed to minister to your neighbor is not me. I'm not that neighbor. Okay? Whose job is it? It's you. It's your neighbor. And so God's got all these spheres of influence, and we said, nah, let somebody else do it. It's pastor's job to reach people. This classmate, this person over here, that I don't want to mess with him, get my hands dirty. Listen, God's got spheres of influence for us to reach. Nobody else is going to do it. God's put it on your plate to do it. No, God, send somebody else. There is nobody else. There is nobody else. God's got tasks for you to accomplish. And I'm just going to ask, there's things that, because I know this, is true. God has things for us as individuals to accomplish. I just want to ask a question in the back of your mind. You can answer it. What have you accomplished for God this year? If you can, if in the back of your mind you're saying, well, I can't really think of that much. I've gone to church. I've done this. But accomplishing something for God, I can't really think. Then you've blown it. God has things for you to do that only you can do. And if you're not doing them, you're doing what Moses is doing. Let somebody else do it. Isn't that the easy thing? There's plenty of people. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people in the church. That's not just true of the church. That's the kingdom of God, right? There's plenty of people out here to reach. Nobody's doing the work because everybody says, I'm busy, I don't have time. It's somebody else's job. It's your job. It's your job. God doesn't have anybody else doing it. God has uniquely equipped you to accomplish certain things. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are enabled, equipped, ready, and able. And if you are not doing what God is calling you to do, there is a whole universe of stuff that's never going to be accomplished. Wake up, church. We've got a job to do, and nobody else will do it. And so this morning, I said, well, there are going to be things speaking into you, the hypotheticals. You get your mind off of that and focus on the faith and the promises of God. Well, no, because it's going to require too much. It's this thing that I'm really uncomfortable handing over to God. Give it up. Give it up. Forget about it. Allow God to use it. And lastly, and God forbid that in this church that we'd have a mindset that says, let somebody else do it. There's nobody else. There's nobody else. Let me just make a call here for our church so that we understand what we're up against. This city is lost. It's lost. Oh, it's mostly Catholic. It ain't no mostly Catholic. You know, it'd be better if it was mostly Catholic. Because at least there are a lot of Catholics that are believers. So at least that'd be good. But the reality is that the Catholic churches this morning are empty. This town's not mostly Catholic. This town is mostly lost. And you say, well, who's going to accomplish it? This church. This church is the church that God is calling to be salt and light in this area. It is us, you, as an individual, seated right where you are. God is calling you to make a difference. Nobody else is doing it. That much is clear. Well, we'll let other churches do it. We'll let other people do it. There's nobody else doing it. Nobody's stepping up to the plate. Everybody's hampered and hindered by all their doubts and insecurities. God's telling us to get out of our fears. Do not walk in fear. Walk in faith and accomplish what God's calling you to accomplish. But end of the days should be, this should be the end where we're saying, well, let somebody else accomplish it. There's nobody else going to do it. We've got a job to do. And who's going to do it? We're going to do it. Oh, not the church. I'm talking about you. As an individual, what is stopping you from accomplishing what God's going to call you to do? Anxieties, hypotheticals, give up attitude, let somebody else accomplish it. God help us. Let us learn from Moses. You want to be somebody that's used of God. You want to be in Moses accomplishing great things. Listen, God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. God no longer accomplishes miracles like that. We're in a different age. Forget. Come on. That's what people say. That's what people say who've just never seen God accomplish anything. And then it becomes easy to come up with a theology that says, yeah, God just doesn't do that anymore. No. God wants to accomplish great things, and he's still doing miracles all over the place, just not in America. Just not in Tiffin. We want to be the church. We want to be the church. We want to be the people that God calls to a new level of our faith, forgetting the things and the doubts and the fears, forgetting the things that hurt, following Jesus, following him to accomplish the things that God's called us to accomplish. No holding back. This year's theme is all in, as you know. All in. All in. I just want to thank God right now for a Moses who modeled for us the behavior that we ought to avoid, and yet God still used him. Eventually, God taught him, and God used him in miraculous ways. God, I want to be that person. I want to be that person. God, use me. God, use me. And I just want to ask that grace over you today. God, will you help us to be a church that's used powerfully for him as individuals. Lord, we love you.